This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls all over the fruited plain, all 50 states, gather around. It's America's family hour of worship. Please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verse 1, where we left off last time. John chapter 15, verse 1. Just before we begin, I would like to invite everybody who's close enough to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, for this beautiful line-by-line teaching. But we start at 5, and we have music. We have the world's most famous, beautiful tambourine player, 11-year-old Olivia Merson. And then we've got her dad and my twin friend Scott Merson playing the bells. And I play the piano and we sing. And then we've got magic gloves. I mean, we've got it all together here. Now, after the teaching, we open the healing bench and we pray for salvation and for healing and for deliverance. Scott joins me then. The Lord gives me a gift of the word of knowledge, many gifts, and so that gift often operates for people, and the Holy Spirit often sings his word to you. So feel free to come. Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, every Sunday, 5 p.m., and you will be blessed. Now, John 15, verse 1. You need to know that man put the chapters and the numbers in the Bible. At first, it was just, you just read the manuscript straight through. So last time, the last two lessons, we have studied John 14, which was entitled, "There is a place of quiet rest." But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions." Mansions in the Greek is mone, resting place, a safe place, not a place to snooze, but a place where you can run and have peace and know that you're okay. And Father's house is the house of the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we learned that we need to have that Word inside of us, not in our intellect, but flowing in us. And that Word in us hides us secretly from the enemy. And that Word protects and guides and leads. And so the theme continues in John 15, "There is a place of quiet rest." Everybody need that place? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay.
John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman."
Now, I'm going to just study that for a few minutes. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." If he says true, that means that there is a false vine. And that would be Lucifer, who in the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6, Isaiah 14, said, "I will be God." He is the devil, the serpent, the dragon, Satan. He's coming back very soon at the sixth trump and call himself Christ, but he's the false Christ, Antichrist, instead of Christ. So Jesus says, "I'm the vine and my Father is the husbandman." Now, a husbandman is the pruner. The Father has the pruning shears and can go whack, whack, and call you back anytime he wants to. Now, one of the great joys of my life is to try to tell people how wonderful our God is. God gets bad PR. He's wonderful, but his Christians give him bad PR. Long, sad faces. You would never know that Jesus is good to them. You would never know that he told them he would take care of them and protect them and take them safely back home because, oh, the mumbling and grumbling. So I want to tell you, God is so adventuresome. He is so much fun. He's right there, Johnny on the spot. Anything I need, he's right there. One of the things I learned about God, and we have not lost our place here, is that God loves vineyards. He's a farmer. God's hobby is gardening. Ha ha! Did you know that? Don't you want to know about God? Yes, it is. Well, He always was. He is. He always will be. He's got to do something with His time. Look at planet Earth. It's dirt. And He sowed one son to reap many sons. How about that? It started in the garden there. He did not have a farmer. The six-day creation, all the races, and He said it was good. Yes, the Hebrew says that. And they were hunters and fishermen, but He needed a farmer to till the soil. And so He created the man Adam, Eth-Hadam, who tilled the soil, and through Seth came the Lord Jesus Christ. God says in the Old Testament, I planted a vineyard and I rented it out to tenant farmers. That's you. We're supposed to farm this. So He loves vineyards. He's always talking about seed, time, and harvest. Genesis 8:22. Even from Genesis to Revelation 22, He says the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. So He loves vineyards. Now in a vineyard, should you not have some fruit? Okay. So Jesus is the vine, the Father is the pruner. Now, we are in the vineyard. Okay, who are you?
Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away.
Now, a few verses further, He's going to say that you, Christian, are the branch. He's the vine. He uses an allegory. The vine is the same thing as Father's house or the word, which we learned last week. You're the branch, you're the child of God. Now, here you are, here is this vine, He is Jesus, and He is flowing in you. If there is no obstruction, everything you need is flowing into you. You don't have to work for your protection. You don't have to work for your direction. You don't have to work for your healing. You don't work for your happiness. It is flowing to you from the vine, right into you, unless it is obstructed, okay? Now, how could a branch not bear fruit? That seed of the word from the vine, the Lord Jesus, is coming into you, and He's putting His seed in you, branch, and eventually you will be impregnated and you will bear fruit. But how could you not bear fruit? Something happens. Here's what happens, branch, why you're not bearing fruit. You get a little distracted. So you take your little branch and you do a little twist, which automatically stops the flow of that fountain of word coming into you. The twist obstructs it. You're twisting because you're looking and paying attention to other things in the vineyard. Hey, look at that tomato. That's a hot tomato. I want to be where that tomato is. The lust of the flesh. Look at that watermelon in the vineyard. Boy, is that watermelon big. You're twisting on. You're not paying attention to the word. That watermelon is so big and powerful. I wish I were big and powerful like the watermelon, the pride of life. Look at the pomegranate. Look at all those seeds. The pomegranate is rich with seed. I'm a grape. I only got two. The lust of the eye. And these things, you are twisted. You are bent out of shape. You have stopped the vine flowing the word in you. You are now thinking of the world. 1 John 2:15-16, He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father, they are of the world. And the world and the lust thereof shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of my Father shall abide forever. Abide is the same thing as mansion, rest. So, what could you do? You could unwind. When you come home from a hard day's work, your beloved says, why don't you sit down and unwind? You can unwind and get back in line with the word, with a vine, and then you'll be okay again. So see, there is hope for you. What does he mean, take away? What he means is, if after a period of time, and you have been drinking in the word from the vine, the true word, Genesis or Revelation, a book, chapter, verse, and line, and all you do is listen to the word, but you never bear fruit, then he could call you home. I have had dreams and visions of people I love dearly that they were on their last minute, and I prayed desperately for them, and many times they would change. In other words, if you're a Christian, he gives you time to grow, and he puts you, if you're an elect, in the right, he selects a teacher for you. So he's chosen me for many of you. And then, but if you just hear the word and watch it and enjoy it, but never put it in you and go out and sow it, then there's no need for you to be here. You were saved and so that you could bring someone else in. Do you understand? So don't let me frighten you. If you're a baby Christian, that's all right. But you are supposed to sow. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it.
Okay, that was the negative. Now it's the positive. That was the bad news. It's the good news. Now, if you're a branch that bears fruit, I mean, that word's in you, and it just emanates and bubbles out of you, and people see that fruit. We're going to talk about that fruit. When they see the fruit that you bear, they want what you've got. See, when you're all jealous and uptight and, oh, you're thinking of the world, nobody wants that. They got their own twisting, you understand? They don't want that. He says he prunes. All right, that means father sees, boy, my son, my daughter, they are bearing fruit. I'm going to cut them back a little bit more. I'm going to make them just perfect. I'm going to slap them. I'm going to horn them up. I'm going to refine them. I'm going to put them on the shelf. I'm going to harden. And then they're really going to bear much fruit. You see, now, the owner of the apple orchard in North Carolina, they say that he cuts those apple branches back so it looks like he's killing the little thing. It's like your hair is long and you want to cut off the dead end so the hair will grow some more. You understand? Now, I want to tell you, there are four things that are bad that can happen to you, and you want to know when it's God's pruning. If it's God's pruning, kiss the scissors. Number one, bad things happen to you branches just because we live in a miserable fallen world. Remember the disciples said the Tower of Siloam fell on 18 people. Did they sin? Jesus said no, the tower just fell. Sometimes stuff happens, okay? Another thing that can happen, you can bring it on yourself. A lot of our troubles are our own self, bad choices and so forth. The other thing that trouble can happen to you is the enemy, the devil, knows the elect, and he comes to steal and kill and destroy. So he's going to try to hinder you from fulfilling your destiny. Scott and I know about that, don't we, Scott? And then the last one is when God the Father sees that you are really bearing fruit, and he just cuts and trims so you will be more and more like him. Every artist hones and refines their work. And God says through Paul, he says, you branch, you Christian, you are his workmanship. You're his work of art. So he wants to just hone and refine and make you more beautiful and more fruit bearing. Now, what kind of fruit would you be bearing? It is answered in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Just make a note there. It's very brief. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Okay, here you are. You're the branch. This is the fruit that will automatically come off of you. You don't have to labor for it. Paul said labor to enter into the rest. Remember, we talked about the resting place, okay? The rest in Christ. Let him do it. The first one is love, and I like the fact that it's the first one. Jesus says, by this shall men know you, my disciples, that you love one another. The second one, listen to this, is joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus went to the cross for the joy set before him. Let the joy rise up. You understand that even though you have troubles, you can still have joy. And when people see that everybody has troubles, and we cry with those who cry, and we help them and we hug them, there's a time to weep and there's a time to cry. But if a person is forever saying they're Christian, and forever all they ever do is tell their troubles, then nobody wants that. Joy is so attractive. And I can tell you, you can have joy and live in adverse circumstances. I mean, you can have the joy because it doesn't come from you or your circumstance. It comes from the vine. The third one is peace. Jesus gives the peace that passes understanding. When you start getting uptight and you are at rest and worried, you've lost your peace. So go back and let that peace come in you. The next one is long-suffering. This means patience. In other words, patience is a virtue. Just because your prayer has not been answered, just wait patiently and He will give you the heart's desire. The next one is gentleness. In other words, kindness is a virtue, gentle. The next one is goodness. You automatically just do that which is good. You can't help it. Wherever you go, you're like a good little seed there. You're just making things better and seeing things that you could do to help people. And then there is faith. We live by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. As Max just read, show me your faith, you know, just tell me your faith, but how about show me your faith by your life? You can tell a person who lives by faith. It's a different attitude. And then there is the fruit of meekness. You see all this dripping off of all of you? Aren't these pretty, like Christmas bulbs coming off of you? There's meekness, that's humility. Now, meekness is not weakness. Most people think it means, oh, I'm no good, I can't do anything. No, it's just controlled strength, that's what it is. In other words, you can esteem others more highly than themselves. You can always praise another, and you don't have to be praised. And then the last one is temperance. Self-control, discipline. To be a disciple of Jesus, you must be disciplined in the Word. Now, when people see these beautiful fruits hanging on you, and you didn't even have to work to get them, all you had to do was rest in the vine. It flows them into you, and finally that seed will come out, and there they are. And then, when the people see this beautiful fruit in your personality, wow, I want what you've got. And you say, how about Jesus? So they say, yes, yes, yes. See, you're an ambassador for Christ.
That it may bring forth more fruit.
And see, I would never be satisfied with winning one soul to God. I'm not satisfied with the souls I've won so far. I want to win America. I want to win the entire United States of America to Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. I think God is big, and I think God can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful to save everybody.
Amen. Verse 3, now you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Now it looks like Jesus changed the subject, but no, he did not. He is the vine, and he's pouring his sap, his living water, that's what he calls the word, into us. And that word cleanses you and washes you and regenerates you, and water of life is coming into you. Now you are clean because you sit perpetually under the fountain of life. Now, God is so good to me. I have a gift of dreams and visions like Joseph and Daniel. So night before last, God gave me a dream to go with this, and I'm going to tell you this. In this holy place where I'm in right now, I had the biggest bathtub. It was big as half of this room I'm in. And it was, what do you do with the bathtub? You take a bath, right? You get clean. In my bathtub was the most beautiful blue water. The Word, Paul says in Ephesians, you're washed with water by the Word of God. That Word washes you. Why is it blue? Blue is truth. T-R-U-T-H. John 17:17. Thy Word is truth. See, God's Word coming perpetually into you, not man's word, not what you read on Facebook, not what somebody said, I believe this way, I believe that way, not books about the book, not traditions of men. That Word steadily coming through is like a bottle brush. Angela, you know about that. The bottle brush just scrubs and gets all of the gook off in the most little crevices of your being. In other words, it gets out all the green, all the waste, until you are a beautiful vessel of value for the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you are clean.
Verse 4, abide in me.
Abide is the same word as mansion in John 14, rest in me. This does not mean to go to sleep. You see, you rest in him while you're doing your work. You see, truly, you never have to fight for your protection. You never have to fight for your direction. You never have to fight for your healing. It is in the vine, and he pours it out in us in that word. What we do have to do is to accept that word and believe that word, and the victory will come, the protection will come, and the healing will come. Do you understand? Now, all the while, like human beings, we're the best workers on our job, and we study, and we do this, and we do that, and we take care of things. So we're not talking about you just supposed to sit in a chair and wait for everything to come to you. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
It's trusting in Him. Trust in His Word. Like a child, He wrote your love letter. Believe it.
I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself.
See, many Christians try to bear fruit all by themselves. You're so twisted up with thinking you've got to do it by yourself. Unwind, untwist, relax, let the Word come in, and the Father within, He'll do the work. You know, we do speak strongly when demons are there, but we're not doing it because we're afraid or doing it in our own strength. We're doing it because the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is so dynamic. You understand? There's a difference there. But we can't of ourselves. We lay hands on the sick, and the sick are healed. Right now, in the name and the power of Jesus, the healing virtue of Jesus is flowing in this room and through the air. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That wasn't hard at all, see? That's the Word of God.
Except it abide in the vine.
Okay, in other words, when you try to live the Christian life on your own strength, you aren't going to do any good. You are like dead wood. You're a dead branch. You see, when you twist out of your position, out of the Word of God, then you've shut off the circulation. So your leaf shall wither, unlike the branch that stays in the vine. Psalm 1 says, He that meditates in my word day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf shall not wither. You see? You understand? In other words, do you know, branch, there's no place of retirement. There should never be senility. There should never be dementia. Anybody who's addicted to alcohol, drugs, pornography, you know what the real solution is? The Word of God flowing, 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 flowing. Not man's words, not a book about the book, the Word of God. It'll cleanse and heal and rejuvenate. And it'll go in there in those longing places that make you want to drink and drugs and pornography. It'll go in there and it says, He satisfies your longing soul. He fills your hungry soul with goodness. You say, well, I know somebody's an alcoholic. They read the Bible. They don't get it. No, you read a little bit here. Or you hear a man's sermon about the Word. Or a book about the book. But you're always going back and stating what the world says about you. Say what the Bible says about you. I have had situations because I had cancer. I had to say the Word of God healing for 6 years, putting both of those cancers together, two for one and four for another. And I would not say the other. I would not be around people who would say it for me. I didn't even tell them because I know people are going to say the other thing. You have got to learn to believe the Word or quit.
Amen. No more can you, except ye abide in me.
So see, we seem to do the work. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. But that's because that vine, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is flowing out of our belly like a river of water, on through our arms like a conduit, on through our hands. Oh! And the Word heals. He sent His Word and healed you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 5. I am the vine.
Now, just in case you didn't understand the parable Jesus just taught you, and I did my part, He says He's the vine.
We are the branches.
You are the branches, Christian. Are you bearing any fruit?
He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
See, if that word I'm not talking about is intellectually, you can come here every Sunday and Wednesday for all your life. If it never goes past your intellect, it's not in you. You're not abiding in it. That's why you toss and turn at night and worry. See, when it gets in you, it starts giving you the peace that passes understanding. Do you understand? So it must come in you and circulate you, and it's there all the time and wrap you around. This does not mean you don't have troubles. This speaker has more troubles than Kellogg's got cornflakes. But that's all right. I have joy, and I have peace, and I certainly have love. And see, you can have the same thing too. So let's hear the next verse.
For without me, you can do nothing.
And so we abide in the vine, and then He flows through us. And see, in Corinthians, Paul names, those nine gifts of Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit will move in gifts that cause you to bear those beautiful fruits. The gifts of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of faith, discernment of spirits, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healings, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. And he says he does that when he wants to. When, if you would abide in the vine, truly, in other words, you sing it, pray it, think it, live it. Yet you do multitask. You learn how to multitask. We're spirit beings, but we have to live in a flesh body. We multitask. You will automatically bear fruit. You can't help it because that vine is putting the seed in you, and that seed is going to pop out of you someday. Somebody's going to see something so wonderful in you, they want what you have.
Amen. Amen.
If a man abide not in me,
uh-oh,
he is cast forth as a branch.
Now, you know, if you have a little shrubbery out there and you see a branch is dead, you go and you cut it off and you throw it in the fire, do you not?
And it's withered.
It's withered.
And men gather them and cast them into the fire.
Uh-oh.
And they are burned.
Okay. Now, you're a branch, you're in the vine, so that does mean you are saved, you are a Christian. But you have twisted and stopped the flow of his healing word coming into you. So now you become dead wood. The life is gone, so the pruner takes and calls you home. Now, what does it mean, burnt by fire? Does that mean you're lost? No, because you're a branch. But it means that every single Christian, all of us branches, are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3. And God's going to have a fire machine. And he's going to put all of our works after salvation. We're not saved by works. After that, he's going to put them in this fire test. He's the consuming fire. Now, if your works lasted, they will be gold, apples of gold, okay, fruit, and silver. And gold and silver in the fire. The fiery furnace makes you better and better. You shine that much more. But if you were a dead branch, even though you were saved, but you kept your mind on other things than the word and you did not bear fruit, your works are wood, hay, stubble. Yet you will be saved, yet so as by fire. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And the heart of God is his love letter to you. Abide, mansion. Let that word permeate, soak in it like in my bathtub with the beautiful blue healing waters of truth. God bless you. I pray you were blessed.
Amen.
We'll begin right there next time, but right now it's time for mystery moment, to questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. Another great word this week. That was awesome.
Thank you. God's word is great.
I know it is. I love that, the vine. That's just awesome. The
I
rest,
love that.
Everything.
Thank
so
you.
Much in there. Okay, our first question. Where are the souls waiting to be born into the second earth age?
All of the souls that have not yet come through, they are with the Father. The Bible tells us, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Now see, we're in the flesh. It says, when you die, ere your silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. If you return, you came from there. You were there. They are waiting their time, one time in the flesh, only one time in the flesh, to come in. And so they're all there waiting, just like you and I were waiting our turn.
Yep. I have one of my favorite verses is, where were you when all the stars sang together?
That was in Job 38. Job, do you remember when the sons of God and the stars shouted and danced together? The sons of God, the star, it's the children of God minus the flesh. We were all there just singing away and praising the Lord before the devil said, I will be God, and brought us all into this mess.
Yeah. We're going to sing together again, too.
Yes, we are. Yes,
all right.
We
our
are.
Next question, they want to know, who or what were the heavenly hosts singing peace on earth to the shepherds of Jesus' birth.
That's right. Remember in Matthew and Luke and all the Gospels, the heavenly host, peace on earth. That was us. We were there. We had not come through yet. That was also Paul and Peter and David, play your little harp, and Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and Moses and Samuel, the heavenly host. We're all with God. You know, Ezekiel gives us a great picture of that. He shows the highly polished bronze vehicle containing God's throne. But you look in the windows, there are people in it. Those are people that either have gone back with the Father. See, some of those people had gone back, David and Abraham, are those who are yet to come. So yes, but remember, we were in a spirit form. We're a spirit form, but your spirit is what you really are. And that's the real you.
Yeah.
So that's where we were singing, hallelujah, Jesus is born.
We're going to do a lot of singing.
Yes, we are.
Okay, our third singing question. Why did God tell Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb?
Because it was the truth.
Right?
That was in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, just like all of us, was with the Father. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Obviously, Jeremiah was one of those few who got up and fought with the archangel Michael for God against the dragon and his angels, and that would be Revelation 12. So God knew before. He knew every one of you under the sound of my voice. He knew you before. He knows everything about you, and he knew exactly what kind of character you had, and that's why he sent you into the circumstances into which you were born. It was not a mistake. It was not unfair. Whatever you were born into, that's your chance to rise up and fulfill his destiny and his purpose.
Amen. That's great. All these questions just lined up together and the answers are right there.
I know it. God, only God can do that. I hope that helped you solve the mystery moment. Well, Scott, you know, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
Okay, we have something short but sweet this week. Belief, grounded, rooted in faith, produces the substance of things to come through the inheritance.
That is so beautiful. Read it again, please.
Belief, grounded, rooted in faith, produces the substance of things to come through the inheritance.
That is so beautiful. Very verified by Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thank you, Scott Mercer. That's beautiful. We appreciate Scott's stuff. Let us all pray the prayer of salvation. I want all to get saved. Pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Pour your word into me.
Pour your word into me.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your kingdom.
To enlarge your kingdom.
To enlarge your border.
To enlarge your border.
To enlarge your children. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Now in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. My phone works, everybody. So please feel free to call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Excuse me. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask now that the Holy Spirit will arise, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And I ask, Father God, that this Spirit of God will penetrate like laser beams into the cells and into the bloodstream and into the muscles and nerves of everyone hearing. Let there be strength come back. Let the strength and the joy be restored. Let there be energy. Let there be life. Let there be reparation, recreation, rejuvenation. Be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Now, thank you, Father. We give you glory. If you were healed, please call and tell me that too. But it's time now for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. I read that modern scientists have discovered that there are only 39 foundational diseases. that all other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, with Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Let's everybody say, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Ready?
With Jesus' stripes, I am healed.
Now remember, you're supposed to bear fruit, so go and tell. Invite everybody you know to hear Trumpet Truth on the internet, WMIEFM.com, America Connect, Elect Connect in America. I'm ready to just share the whole Word of God to America. Scott and I have that mandate, and we're going to get it done by the grace of God. Now, wait for my announcer to give you my telephone number. And I want you to remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying, I love you and I bless you in Jesus' truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. In the face of all your pride, it moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Prisoner free, there is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. the prisoner that it really freezes you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Watching where I'm going, I can't speak without knowing what to say. I can't love and have any hesitation, 'cause I know that you don't work that way. I can't reach without something to offer. I can't come now, I am so ashamed. I can't hold out from you any longer, 'cause I know that you don't work that way. I'm not gonna fight you anymore. I'm not gonna try to lock the door. You took your life and gave me yours. There's no reason why I shouldn't trust you with mine. It's never easy changing direction. It's so unnatural to loosen up my grip. Are you growing weary of all my good intentions? 'Cause I know that you don't work that way. I'm not gonna fight you anymore. Not gonna try to lock the door. You took your life and gave me yours. There's no trust you with mine. Some days this weight upon my shoulder is my shame. I know I should know better, 'cause you say that I must now surrender. There's no other way. I'm not gonna fight you. I'm not gonna fight you anymore. Not gonna try to lock the door. I needed life, you gave me yours. You took your life and gave me yours. There's no good reason why I shouldn't trust you. I'm not gonna fight you anymore. Not gonna try to lock the door. Took your life and gave me yours. trust you with mine.
We offer up our lives to bring you blessings. inviting Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul, remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled.
Like this, I wanna run from the routine. as I disappear.
Take it all, every hope, every dream.